AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Matt, Brett, today. The great melting happens again today. It's just amazing how much snow has disappeared in 3 days.
I think it's going to continue the next few days here.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, at least the axis is not tilted too bad on the planet here. I mean, I know we've gone into bizarro world, but it is, yeah, once again, not as warm as it was yesterday, but still very much melty McMelty pants. And
my
so God,
when I left yesterday about 6, my car said like 48 degrees. That's just insane.
It is. It is. It's like I said, if there was no snow cover, we'd be in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt. It is that time of year. I mean, I noticed this morning, just yesterday, I drove my son to school yesterday. And the sun, when I got there, was just coming over the tree line. I mean, so it wasn't blinding me right in my eyes as I drove into the east. Today, I didn't have that luxury. That sun must have come a good 3-4 minutes earlier. And there it was, right? And I don't need that, man. Ow. Police in Pennsylvania said a man accused of stealing a pot of meatballs from a resident's garage. You know, your life ain't working out too well if, you know, your grand theft for the day is
this,
a pot of meatballs.
This might require police blotter theme. Meatballs.
A pot of meatballs.
A pot of meatballs.
He was spotted with evidence all over his face. Oh, Pennsylvania. You're so close to being a southern state. Pennsylvania State Police responded to a report of a burglary Monday after a Hazel Township man arrived home at 2:37 p.m. and discovered a man covered in red sauce was outside of his home and a pot of meatballs was missing from his garage. Okay, how about we just go with the pot of meatballs in your garage? Yum. Boy. Troopers found the pot on the street outside the man's home and located Lehman G.R. Potter, 48, at his residence a short time later. Potter was arrested. Now, there's two ways I can go with Potter. I can go with Harry Potter, you know, which, you know, this theft should have been easier with a wand. I'm just going to say it. Or, you know, Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. That George Bailey's got delicious meatballs in his garage. Maybe that's why I was in the chair, because he just had enjoyed so many meatballs. He had to be pushed from meatball buffet to meatball buffet. That's the underlying, the story they don't tell you in It's a Wonderful Life. Potter's addiction to delicious Italian food. Potter was arrested on charges of burglary, trespass, theft. Police said he also wanted an outstanding warrant for failure to appear. He was booked to the Luzerne County Correctional Facility in lieu of $25,000. $25,000 for meatballs?
This must be some good meatballs.
How big was the pot?
$25,000.
So let's get this right. Potter goes into the garage, grabs the pot of meatballs, goes out onto the street, proceeds to pour it over his face as he gobbles them down. I'm going to presume chewing. I don't know. I mean, we can't say for sure. Maybe
he's got it all over his face. He might just be stuffing those.
You know, it's going to be like one of those cartoon things. And he gets 20. He's in the pokey for 25. Nice. Good luck with that.
Let that be a lesson not to steal meatballs.
And the unfortunate part, guess what's for dinner in the pokey tonight? Meatball subs. I'm full. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Jeffrey McGillicuddy Stein joining us a little bit later on. We got a lot to get to with him. A lot of lesser issues, especially if you missed the stories yesterday about Russia. This is going to end ugly. It is going to end very, very ugly, that's for sure. We'll start off with the good news. The state of Minnesota, once again, has a budget surplus. And as much as the Republicans in the state want to sit there and say, we did it all. It was all us. He didn't do anything. He just signed it. It should be noted for the record that Governor Dayton, regardless of he's got all Democrats, all Republicans, or split, Governor Dayton has been the best fiscal governor this state has had, I'm going to guess, in 100 years, probably more. He has been outstanding. Reminder about these Republicans that want to claim that they're fiscally great. The last time a Republican was in charge of the state, they left us in a massive budget deficit, and that didn't include the education budget, which he magically ripped apart from the regular budget and threw it into a future fiscal cycle and said, see, I solved the problem by ignoring it. So, Republicans can't brag about this. Governor Dayton fixed that problem, paid back the schools, and we've had budget surpluses ever since. And yeah, there's a reason why Minnesota is consistently a top state in the country, that Minneapolis, St. Paul are consistently top cities in the country. And a big reason of it is Democratic leadership. No, I'm not going to say that Republicans didn't have anything to do with it. I think they had some parts to do with it, but so did the Democrats. But when you look at the one combining factor, Governor Dayton, he has been in office, he has fixed the problems the Republicans created, and he continues to lead. $329 million budget. That's a budget surplus. Now, once again, we should put this in a little bit of perspective. It's a $329 million budget surplus. It's a $46 billion budget overall. It's a massive budget. So $46 billion budget overall. So this is not a lot of money per se. If you and I had it, yeah, wing, wing, woohoo, yeah. But when you're thinking about the realm of running a state, it's nice to be on the plus sides. I like being on the plus sides. Of course, immediately Kirk Dowd says, we have to give this to about the 15 richest Minnesotans. All that money's got to go to them because it makes common sense. Kirk Dowd, the man who basically didn't understand when he started having sexual harassment training in the Minnesota House, that this was about discouraging sexual harassment. Yeah. Plenty of priorities on the agenda this year that could cost the state money, including a federal tax conformity bill. That, by the way, I'm going to just say this. I mean, Republicans, Democrats, before you actually start putting your money into certain projects, that Trump tax bill is a freaking mess. And sure, there might be some family out in Pipestone who is going to get a $40 increase in their taxes, in their refund. Good for them. There are a lot of people in Minneapolis, St. Paul, including in the suburbs, including in those wealthy suburbs, basically you guys like to strap your knee pads on for Republicans. There's a lot of people there that their taxes are going to go through the roof. I mean, through the freaking roof. Because of this Trump tax bill. So you're going to have to figure out how that works. New funding for school safety proposals, ongoing technical issues with state driver's license registration system. All four legislators will brief reporters as well as the governor will this afternoon. Thanks to Brianna Bierschbach over at MinnPost with that. So, good news. Absolutely good news. I will mention as well, I do have to get to this other story here. It's a state story, but I got to start off on the national level. Police say a high school teacher in Dalton, Georgia, barricaded a door and fired a gun shot off when the principal tried to force open the door. No one was injured. The police said the instructor was arrested. A shooting which unfolded at schools around the country remained on an edge, from gun violence earlier this month that claimed 17 lives in Florida. Unfolded around Dalton High School, about 90 miles north of Atlanta. Responding to reports of gunfire at the school, officers from the Dalton Police Department found the teacher in question holed up inside a classroom. He was taken into custody without an incident about 45 minutes later. Suspect was later identified as Jesse Davidson, 53, a social studies teacher at the school, who police said also serves as a play-by-play announcer on Dalton High School football. The incident began when a group of students tried to enter the classroom and the teacher was not letting anybody inside. When the principal arrived and tried opening the door with a key, a single gunshot was heard from inside the room, prompting a security lockdown. Now, I'm bringing this up because, once again, the insanity that is the Republican Party is putting out the idea the best way to solve our gun slaughters in this country is to give teachers guns. That's how you're going to solve the problem. That's what they honestly think this. They are fools. But that's what they honestly think. That they think that this is somehow going to, because there's never going to be a teacher that's going to lose it and have a gun and decide that I'm going to start shooting up a school. Now, it's once again, the NRA and their trolls, and any Republican out there that talks about video games, talks about TV violence, talks about movie violence, talks about Mayberry, talks about gangs. No, this is not gangs. This is people with the most vile intent are able to get weapons designed for military combat and wreak carnage upon our weakest and most defenseless individuals in this country. And instead of taking the guns away from the people that want to do damage, they want to sit there and say, well, we'll just arm the teachers. And by the way, it should be mentioned, Brett, we did get a fantastic email, comment at am950radio.com. Individual brought up the point about the extracurricular activities.
Yeah, are you going to have those at every high school football game, band concert, drama performance,
yeah,
armed guards at the doors? Yeah.
My kids are at practices tonight. Are we going to be paying, what, 3, 4, 5 guards now because we have rotating schedules? What about the football game on Friday night? Oh, well, we have the police there. Okay, well, maybe. What about the JV game? What about the elementary school track program? I mean, what about the Girl Scout meeting in the school that night? Guns everywhere is no longer the solution. And as a matter of fact, a Minnesota politician is coming up with a solution that's hopefully we'll get some at least some discussion. My guess is the Republicans will say, no, the NRA has told us to never do anything to hurt the precious guns. We have to save the guns and bullets. That would be my guess. 952-946-6205. Come on back. Talk about the gun bill the DFL has put forward in the Minnesota House. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design. Whether you love Sunday evenings or you see them as the downward slide into the work week, you could probably use a drink. That's why I'd like to invite you to tune into a new program called Drink in the Style. Beginning Sunday, March 4th at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style will be 1 hour of interior design and small business conversation, all while enjoying cocktails created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, starting March 4th, and brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
I'm Adam Jennings, and I approve this message. Some people say weapons don't kill people, people kill people. But if that were the case, then we wouldn't care if North Korea had nukes, would we? You ever think about that? Let's get real. Each year, gun violence hurts nearly 50,000 Americans, including 4,000 kids. And while some politicians act like tough guys, they're too chicken to stand up to the NRA, who gave Eric Paulson an A-plus rating, along with a check for $20,000. He's working for them, not us. I think any congressman who has an A-plus rating from the NRA has the blood of these children on their hands. NRA, give me an F, because I believe in fighting for kids, not cash. I believe our politicians should show the same courage as the kids, teachers, and first responders showed at Parkland, Sandy Hook, and countless others. It's time for a Congress that fights and runs towards danger and not away from it. Join me at JenningsForCongress.com. Thank you.
Paid for by Adam Jennings for Congress.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day. 7 days a week.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hello, if you're watching the abbreviated version today of the show on the AM 950 live stream on Facebook, AM 950 radio on Facebook. You can watch the show there if you like. Also, I do want to mention that we, of course, have this little giveaway for the VIP tickets for the Blue State Ball. If you get our newsletter, basically, there's a secret word in the newsletter. You email that secret word to us at the radio station, comment at am950radio.com, comment at am950radio.com, and we will get you entered in to possibly win a pair of VIP tickets to the Blue State Ball March 10th at the Blaisdell. So, by the way, you can do that at am950radio.com, but if you'd like, if you're having some issues, some people have issues with signing up for the newsletter there, you can also email us at comment at am950radio.com to get the email, or to get the newsletter. We can make sure we're adding you on to that list. 952-946-6205 from the Pioneer Press. From phasing out semi-automatic rifle ownership to making it a crime for anyone owing child support to own a firearm, a gun control bill just introduced to the Capitol reaches further than any in recent memory. While such an expansive bill typically wouldn't get play in the current legislature, its sponsor says she might just try to push for a debate with a little-known House rule that forced another gun control hearing this week. Yeah, I'm probably going to have to do it what DFL Representative Dave Pinto did. I'm not messing around, said DFL Representative Linda Slocum, a retired Minneapolis public school teacher from Richfield, who said she's been working on the bill since September. Several years ago, DFL leadership said, don't do it. It puts too many members in jeopardy. This year, they said, okay, I'm running this, and I'll let all the chips fall where they may. Slocum added, it's a big issue. It's a deadly issue, and let those people decide. The bill is going to is being decried by opponents as gun control Armageddon. Isn't somebody going to care about the guns and the bullets? Just, I mean, this, seriously, anytime a Republican starts saying, no, you know, we can't have gun control, that's what I want you to think. Think about this. Won't somebody think about the guns and the bullets? Please. Think about that, okay? Just that's all I want you to do. And as a matter of fact, start screaming it back at them. They'll love that. Representative Slocum has written the most egregious gun control bill we've seen since the generation here in Minnesota, said Brian Strasser, chairman of the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, PAC. The bill essentially bans most semi-automatic firearms, prohibits them from being bought or sold, and stops them from being passed down from one's children and grandchildren. That sounds great, actually. Nicely done. Nicely done, Representative Slocum. A generation from now, most firearms in Minnesota would be banned and destroyed by law enforcement. That's what the bill says. Now, when you think about Brian Strasser and him writing this, I want you to think about it as Yosemite Sam, okay? Reagan. The House bill would expand the definition of an assault weapon to include many semi-automatic pistols, rifles, or shotguns, and makes possessing them a felony, with the exception of some that were legally registered before February 2018. A freaking men. Weapons that were designed, when someone sat down with graph paper and a pencil, they were designed to kill human beings on a battlefield, should not be owned by civilians unless they are willing to go through military-style training, which is not a three-hour seminar in the local community center. A freaking men. Those owning a grandfathered assault weapon must undergo a background check, renew their registration annually, and use only on their property or at a shooting range. Such weapons could not be sold or transferred, only surrendered to law enforcement for destruction, ban private gun sales, or the transfer of firearms between family members or through inheritance. All sales and transfers would only go through licensed dealers. Such sales and transfers would have a 2-day waiting period. A record of all gun transfers would be filed with the county. Make possession, bump possessing bump stock, silencers, and many large capacity magazines which hold more than 10 rounds a felony. Amen to that. Require all ammunition to be purchased from a licensed dealer and require a record for all sales for 3 years. Make it illegal to reveal to own who owe court ordered child support to own a firearm. Now, I know some people are out there going, this is crazy. There are still plenty of guns you can legally own in this state that do not fall under those categories. Your right to bear arms is not infringed upon. As a matter of fact, you can get your well-regulated militia on. Yeah, forget about that little part of the Second Amendment, don't you? That part is still a viable option for you with this law. So go on out there and defend the guns. What would somebody think about the guns and bullets? Because that's all the Republicans care about. They want their NRA money, so they will put your kids on the chopping block to make sure they get it. They don't care, and they don't. There's going to be another shooting. It could be in Minnesota. It could. And guess what? The Republicans don't care because all they want is the NRA money. And I know that they're right now saying, how dare you, Matt? No, how dare you put your money ahead of our children? Thank you, Representative Slocum. Thank God we have some sanity. Thank God for that. Jeff Stein, when we come on back, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tom Harmon here, letting you know that better energy is finally affordable. With All Energy Solar, Minnesota's number one local home solar provider, you can go solar with little or no money down. Qualified property owners could even see a return on investment in less than 1 year. Xcel Energy's Solar Rewards Incentive Program is available first come, first serve, and federal tax credits are available for a very limited time. Schedule your free solar assessment today. Visit allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hi, Matt McNeil, and it's one of my favorite times of the year. It's SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota. The Highlander is an amazing vehicle. Features an available direct-injected 3.5-liter V6 engine, a bold look, space for up to 8.5 USB ports, and tons of cargo space. Rudy Luther Toyota currently has 140 2018 Highlanders in stock with financing as low as 0.9% for 60 months, plus the great Rudy Luther service I love. Stop by for SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Mishad Cooley-Eric Erickson, a mechanical and electrical consulting engineering firm in Minneapolis, supports inclusivity by designing spaces for all user groups, honoring inclusivity and respect. These spaces include gender-neutral family restrooms and nursing mothers' rooms. For example, Mishad Cooley Erickson has designed lactation rooms for traveling mothers at the MSP International Airport. Designing these spaces has changed the expectations of similar facilities in airports around the country. Mishad Cooley Erickson designed safe and comfortable environments for occupants who are their number one priority.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly sunny skies today with a high near 42. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 23. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high around 35. And Friday, partly sunny with a high near 38.
Don't miss the Midwest's largest health and wellness show. It's the Healthy Life Expo this Saturday and Sunday at the Minneapolis Convention Center. See up to 200 exhibitors, free speakers, and more. The Healthy Life Expo this Saturday and Sunday at the Minneapolis Convention Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
The place where fierce independence is the norm. It's the Norm Angle Old Man Show. AM 950 KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul. The progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the week, Victor's 1959 Cafe, one of my favorite places in town. Delicious Cuban food, one of the best breakfasts. You'll really enjoy it. 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. Victor's 1959 Cafe is the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, TotallyIowa.com. IowaWatch.org is the exceptional public service show he's associated with. And, of course, he's joining us from the Palatial Broadcasting Complex at KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, home of UNI basketball, right?
Well, supposedly, yes. It's been a rocky season, but, you know, that's why they have the conference tournament, so that Cinderella can come to the ball and we'll see.
That's a fairy tale, dude. So not going well in the Missouri Valley. You're still in Missouri Valley Conference, right?
Absolutely right, yeah. With the whopping number 9 seed in the 10-team tournament that starts tomorrow. So, yeah, we're looking good.
Who's worse than you?
I think it's Valparaiso, and they the league. So it's like beat up on the new kid. I don't know. So.
Well, how about we beat up on the old kid, Russia? There you go. This segue. Bad one, too. All right, so let's talk about two things that we found out yesterday. The first is – We now know definitively the election systems of seven states were accessed by the Russians. Two of those states, by the way, Florida and Wisconsin, which is no small beans at this point. But we do know, we don't know how much they infiltrated these systems because, once again, that the Republicans in the Congress refused to do any investigation into the extent of the Russian interference. But now we do know that seven states, their election systems were indeed hacked by the Russians in 2016. The other thing that was really shocking was Admiral Mike Rogers, head of the NSA, spoke to Congress yesterday. I believe he was up in the Senate, and he went to talk to them, and he basically said all the intelligence agencies agree the Russians are doing the same exact thing, only worse for 2018. They are definitively trying to swing our election in certain directions, and unfortunately, we can't do anything to stop it or intervene with these attempts because the President of the United States has not given the NSA and Mike Rogers the authority to intervene to stop a foreign country from interfering into our election system. Your thoughts on those two stories?
Let's take the first one first. Even if Congress does not act, I would think the individual states would be investigating. And I know for a fact that in Iowa, there was continued monitoring from the moment that they learned that there was an attempt. Now, there was no breach, and we do not vote electronically. We have the paper scan ballots. And so they tried to breach the database and were blocked, and they had no access to actual voting. But if I'm in Wisconsin, if I'm in Florida, if I'm in any of the 50 states or any of the territories that allow voting, I, as the local official, will be looking into this. I don't need the federal government to do it. And it's not a partisan situation because the people who run the elections in each state are elected officials themselves. And so it's in their best interest for good government and their own political future to look into it themselves. As far as the president not giving authority to NSA, et cetera, you need to do nothing more than make that known publicly before Congress. And pretty soon, I think things will happen. The thing that is vexing, perhaps the best way to phrase it about this administration, is that on the one hand, they are incredibly slow to act on certain things because of a paralysis of the chain of command. But on the other hand, the person who holds Twitter in his hand can set policy in 280 characters and will do so and change policy on a whim. And so you've got this very odd situation where if it strikes the president's fancy, then he'll make the change. Otherwise, it is truly pulling a very heavy sled up a hill, and that's not good for government.
Going back to the first one first, you're exactly right. And in Minnesota, Steve Simon, the Secretary of State, has been very active. But once again, Minnesota, paper ballots. Wisconsin doesn't. They actually do electronic tablature, and there are some people there, some questions on, you know, how reliable their system is. But once again, Scott Walker has shut down any investigations into what happened there. Georgia is another state. Now, Georgia isn't part of the seven state list, but the Georgia, I think it's the Secretary of State down there, he's been absolutely insistent there's never going to be any investigation. He's even gone as far as trying to throw out anything prior to this current upcoming election to say that's you can't look back on it, you can't look into this, which is once again raising a lot of eyebrows. You're right, we do have fail safes in place, but in some of these states you seem to have Republicans who are insisting, I don't care how much they say the Russians try to hack us, we're still not going to look into it. And then you have a complete failure of accountability.
Oh, there's absolutely no question. And it's a matter that makes you wonder when they say, anybody says, we don't want you to look at what's going on. There may not be any hacking, but what else are they hiding?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. It may be something where there may not be any evidence of anything that's tied to Russians. But if we think that the Russians are the only ones trying to influence our elections or get our databases or crack our systems, we're fooling ourselves. Similarly, we're doing stuff. The United States is doing stuff that we as the citizens don't know about. But once you do know about it, you fix it or you try to do something about it. And again, if I know in talking to the Iowa Commissioner of Elections, who is the Secretary of State, as is the case most places, The federal government did not notify him that there had been an attempt to breach the Iowa system until there was a news release that talked about it. Now, this is going back maybe 6 months, but I could tell when I did the interview with him, there was a tone in his voice of how in the world did our federal government not notify the state? And the excuse was, well, ongoing investigation. This is a Republican Secretary of State in a state with an awful lot of Republican office holders and Republicans running things in Washington. So it's not a partisan thing in terms of they were denying this guy information for a political ploy. It was a matter of they weren't telling anybody. Now, how in the world can you address the situation? How do you look the commissioner of elections in the eye and say, yeah, we knew about this, but we didn't tell you? It's just maddening. And, well, and it throws a lack of confidence, your sense of lack of confidence in the entire system.
Well, and your point, the one thing I'll point back to is, you know, McConnell and Ryan refusing to condemn the Russians during the 2016 election cycle. They refused to do it because even though all their security intelligence services were saying this was happening, they insisted that they're not going to condemn this. And then there's also been reports that Republicans in Congress did tell the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission, that they could not blab. And initially, I don't know if you remember, but initially, a lot of this stuff started coming to light because it was being leaked. And oh. and so that they're clearly, I mean, I understand what you're saying as far as the agencies themselves. This is not a political issue, but there clearly was some, you know, political puppet making going on that was definitely trying to control the situation.
No question. The only point I'm making is you cannot say, well, it's Republicans sticking it to Democrats or vice versa. But the fact that it was done is wrong. There's political hay being made here. It's just not drawn along the normal lines. You know, in other words, that makes it even more insidious, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Particularly as I should. It's not a typical, we're going to get your side. It's feds versus the states. It's feds versus the voting public. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that really makes you quiver a little bit, get a little nervous.
The further we go down this path, though, there's only going to eventually become two options. Either you're going to have to overthrow this government, and because that's the only way you're going to prevent from the secrets coming on out. And that will lead to a very large body count, likely, unfortunately. Or this is all eventually going to come on out. And all these people that are sitting there, I mean, it's, you know, it's like you said, you know, this is not necessarily a political thing because your Republican Secretary of State in Iowa is out there saying, hey, wait a minute here, what's going on in our state? But yeah. But there are going to be a lot of people like the Georgia Secretary of State who's all of a sudden, wait a minute here, I insisted no one could look into this, but I had no idea the Russians were fixing vote totals. You know, there's going to come a point where that this is going to come on out, and there are going to be people that are going to be running in shame away from this because the truth is going to be almost undeniable. It's palatable at that point.
They're going to be driven out in shame. They're not going to run. See, that's the other thing. They won't run from it. They'll have to be driven from it. And I'm not talking about forcibly or physically, but what I'm saying is the bunker mentality that exists when you say, don't look. Well, what are you afraid we're going to find? And so it then just kind of feeds upon itself. And the mood of the public, and this is not a partisan political statement. I think the mood of the public over the last, I'm going to say half dozen years, a little bit longer maybe. And I date it back to the beginning of the original Tea Party movement in 2010. Not the co-opted, we're a puppet of the right Tea Party movement, but the original one that was a bipartisan effort in that spring of 2010. Ever since, the public has looked at these things and said, we are the ones who vote. You work for us, and we need to take our power back. And the number of people who are demanding face-to-face meetings with their elected officials, I think we might be going a little far with some of that, but the concept of we need to take this thing back, we are not simply going to take your hackneyed responses that have worked for years, we're not going to take those anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a tremendous thing for society because of the fact that if you let a ruling class rule, you've lost the freedom that you supposedly had you got to take your freedom back.
Jeff Stein joining us right now. Let's move on to Jared Kushner. But I want to ask you first off, was it Podesta that got caught trying to take something out of the official archives?
It was Sandy Berger.
Sandy Berger. Yeah. This is a person that didn't.
Pants. Literally stuffing documents in his pants.
Here's a case where, I mean, that one incident, and that incident definitely deserved to be reviewed. I mean, even though you had top people with top secret security clearance, but they were taking documents out of rooms that they shouldn't have been doing.
Right.
Let's put this in comparison to, I mean, I think it's clear that Republicans, if someone in the Obama senior administration had access to top secret information and did not have a top secret security code clearance for maybe 15 minutes, that would have been the justification for them to insist of an immediate impeachment hearing against the president. Here in this administration, to tell you how things are so much different, you have multiple people within the White House that will never be able to get top secret security clearance, getting access to top secret security documents for a year before finally someone says, you know what, Jared Kushner, particularly, he's the top of the heap on this one, but Kushner is no longer going to be allowed to look at this stuff because we cannot get him a security clearance. And now it comes to light that not only could he not get security clearance, but other foreign countries have openly been talking about trying to manipulate him, a guy that doesn't have security clearance but has been allowed to look at our top secret security memos, which is, this is to say it's unprecedented, this alone in any other administration, Democratic or Republican, would have been the end of the administration.
There are two things to pull apart here. One is with Kushner, and I'm not going to forget that, but put it aside for a moment. All of this has exposed a real problem in the vetting process. How can it possibly take this long to approve people? And I think it was the case in the Obama administration as well. This is not anything new, but the fact that you have somebody who's supposed to be working in government and they can't get their clearances because they haven't, it hasn't gone through the process.
Well, actually, if I want to step in really quick here, because the difference between other past administrations and this administration is when someone has not been able to get a security clearance, the first time that it happens, they basically say your security clearance is denied. The person then resigns the position and then they find someone else. Bush, Obama, this is a pretty standard procedure. In the Trump administration, very early on, they basically came back and said, we can't get these people security clearances. They fail every time. And the administration just kept putting them back in and giving them waiver after waiver. This is very different. This is not necessarily a systemic issue. It's a belligerence issue.
Sort of. And here's where I was going with it. And you're right to point out what you did. There's no incentive for the investigatory agency to complete investigations if people get temporary interim clearances. The fact that there are interim clearances because, well, we haven't done all the paperwork, so we're going to give you the clearance and hope it turns out okay. That's ridiculous. Now, if they're rejected, the person is out. What I think has happened in a lot of this, and it may be the belligerence issue, but I think in a lot of this, it's we don't have clearance on Matt McNeil. Why don't you? Well, there are some issues we have to sort through. The red flag of issues we have to sort through has led others to say, okay, well, this isn't going well, so the person leaves. But the fact that it takes so long to even get to this point is a systemic issue because we give the interim. Why in blazes are you giving an interim? I mean, that's basically saying we don't trust you to have the clearance, so here's the stuff until we are absolutely sure you shouldn't have the clearance. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, and you're right. No, that you are right there. I mean, I think there's a lot of things after this administration's over that are going to get fixed. Like the idea of the Congress is supposed to rein in the executive branch, but if the Congress becomes complicit, what are the options? When you have states that are being violated on the electoral level by the Russians, the Secretary of State's supposed to look into it. What happens when the Secretary of State fails? When you have security clearances that are supposed to get passed before people get the information, when you have a system in place where it's being abused, that's going to be fixed. That still doesn't excuse the current situation we have, where Johnny Blabby over there, who's just basically looking to make money for his family's business, I really think Kushner himself getting clearance has been one of the biggest mistakes of this administration.
We need to see if the Twitter handle Johnny Blabby is available. That would be awesome. But no. And that's that. We can't wait for the next administration. You made the comment, well, there'll be a lot of things that are fixed after this. We can't wait. We can't wait for things like that to be fixed. The fact that, and I'm going to be very careful with how I say this. The fact that the president said on the issue of his son-in-law's security clearance, well, I'm going to leave that up to the chief of staff. First off, you're the chief of staff. You say, thanks a lot for that one. But the fact is, he's saying, okay, I don't want to deal with that. Somebody else is going to deal with that. Is an implicit acknowledgement of two things, one somewhat neutral, one not. The somewhat neutral interpretation is to say, okay, I'm the president, but he's my son-in-law and I have a conflict of interest, and so I'm going to stand back and trust my chief of staff. That's what a normal person would do. My sense, however, is that the stepping back was because he knew or had some good reason to believe there was some shady stuff. And he wants to distance himself from the decision in case what comes out points out in very declarative, provable ways what you just mentioned, which is how does the Kushner family fortune grow?
Absolutely. By the way, Johnny Blabby is available, but also is Jared Blabby is also available right now on Twitter. I just checked it.
Did you actually look?
Yeah, Jared Blabby is available on Twitter. We might have to set up an account. Jeff Stein joining us right now. Let's take a break. We'll come on back. We'll talk about some more Democratic wins, as well as also the politics of the NRA and how things are turning for that organization. Jeff Stein joins us on a Wednesday, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
The Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe is ready for the cold, serving seasonal dishes using locally sourced ingredients, Minnesota craft beers, and organic wines. Their delicious vegetarian, vegan, and omnivorous menu options are sure to satisfy. New items include the cauliflower po' boy, harvest chili, braised beef tostada, and the pork banh mi, as well as rotating seasonal vegetables and pasta. Sustaining a healthy community, you will find Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe at 2601 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis and online at coopcreamery.coop.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Your home stinks. What, you didn't notice? Odds are you're immune to the smells in your home, but the stink is definitely there. That means it's time to bring out the pros from Zero Res to clean out the dust mites, dander, and bacteria festering in your carpet. This month, you can get three-room Zero Res clean starting at only $119. Plus, this month, you can still get a great deal when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Moe's Tax Service on Ford Parkway in St. Paul has been preparing tax returns since 1971. They're one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the country with a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts. Tax laws and forms are always changing, and you need someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Visit www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-Tax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026. Moe's Tax Service. They work for you, not the IRS.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own four or six packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Reminder, your chance at winning VIP tickets to the Blue State Ball March 10th at the Blaisdell. What you have to do is go to am950radio.com, register for the newsletter on the website. That's am950radio.com. In the newsletter, which should be out tomorrow, there's going to be a secret word. When you find the secret word, email that to the station, comment at am950radio.com, comment at am950radio.com. You'll be entered in to possibly win VIP passes to the Blue State Ball. Once again, go to am950radio to sign up for the newsletter and for more details. Jeff Stein is joining us right now. Jeff, they're in New Hampshire and in Connecticut, two more seats went for the Democrats and won the Connecticut seat. 44 years since the Democrats held that seat, and they won that. Although that was much more of a toss-up. The New Hampshire seat was far more interesting. That was another one of those 22-point swings, 23-point swings. I will say this. Democrats have a tendency on the seats they lose not bringing those up. But for the most part, once again, another series of seats where the Democrats have gone into districts which overwhelmingly, at least in the case of New Hampshire, went for Trump and are now once again in the hands of the Democrats. Still, the writing on the wall does not look good for the Republicans coming up here this November.
I am a big fan of all politics is local. You know that, and the listeners know it. And it is rare when you have what I call local elections. And even House of Representatives seats, those are local elections. It's rare to have the big groundswell of change. 1974, the Watergate year, obviously, is one of those. You might be lining up, and I'm not equating the actions of this administration with Watergate per se, but what I'm saying is from an electoral standpoint, rarely do you get the big momentum shift. This could be one of those, because typically the party, and there was some great research that I just saw on this, typically the party in the White House loses seats in a mid-year election. That's just the way it is, especially in the Senate. Obama took a real hit and yet remained personally very popular and was elected and reelected. But this is lining up to be one of those that, given the organization in place, I am really struck by the progressive movement's ability to use social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or email chains, to immediately mobilize. And I think that's the kind of thing that's necessary, that kind of a ground game. And I can only speak for what's happening in my neck of the woods, but the Indivisible Group has really targeted those on the right, current office holders, to hold them accountable on a regular basis and to show up in elects. They'll have to have good candidates, and that's always a challenge. But the opportunity is there. Your point is very well taken. The opportunity is there. And again, what it shows is there's no such thing anymore. This is the most important point. There's no such thing as a throwaway race. Mm-hmm. It used to be we could say, well, okay, a token candidate here, or maybe we won't even put any money behind this race because, heavens, there's no way they're going to win that. Uh-huh. And all you have to do is go back, and we've talked about this before. Nobody wanted to run for president on the Democrat side in 1992 because George Bush was such a popular post-Gulf War president. And there were a lot of people running, but it was not, if you will, the presumed top tier of candidates. Well, all of a sudden, the economy made 41 vulnerable and led to 8 years of Bill Clinton in the White House. Mm-hmm. And so to sit back and say, well, you know, this person's unbeatable. No one is unbeatable. And it doesn't have to do with last minute scandals. It just has to do with how the public reacts to things.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be 30-32. Those were massive years. Sure. For the Democrats, and because of Hoover and the Great Depression. But, sure. I do think that, I think this is going to look a lot like the Watergate elections, where you're going to see the Dems pick up a lot. I will say, too, that the Democrats themselves seem to be trying to find ways to not run candidates. I mean, we have a few races here in Minnesota where you're right. This is the year. If you're going to run anyone, run anyone. Get someone out there. Get someone decent. Don't just let some guy roam in and say, I guess I'll be your candidate. No, you got to get decent people out there because the Republicans cannot afford to spend in every race. And right now it's looking like even in races like Tom Emmer, Minnesota 6th District, which is a carved for Republicans to win. There's going to be a race there. You've got to get a candidate in there. And I think the roots of the party, these grassroots organizations, they're really kind of starting to push the DFL in Minnesota and Democrats nationally to say, no, don't overlook any race.
Oh, you absolutely cannot. And it may not look like a winner at this very moment, but you don't know. And so, and I strongly urge not only that the local folks find good candidates, but they insist on those candidates and not have them cherry-picked from some regional or national group, because I think the track record of the national folks sort of pre-selecting their favorite candidates in a race, that does not tend to work either in the primary or in the general. I mean, if you're politically active, and obviously if you're listening to this program, you care about it. If you're politically active, there's no shame in running an honorable race and losing. And what if the stars are in alignment and you win? Mm-hmm. You can actually affect change as opposed to just sitting on the sidelines. And so, I mean, there's no greater honor to me than public service. And so why not take advantage of what could be tremendous opportunities to really affect great change?
You want an interesting one. Up here we have Klobuchar, of course, is up for election, this sure. upcoming election. The only person they can find to run against her is a guy named Jim Neuberger, who's best known for making racist comments about African-Americans on the House floor in Minnesota. This is a guy that cannot win outside of his own district up in Becker. And he's the only one they can find. No one else wants a piece of Klobuchar because they already know. That's the kind of stuff that tells me things. That the Republicans have already conceded that race. They're not even going to try if that's the best they can get. That's a big red flag for the Democrats. Get a candidate in every damn race.
And to take your point, if I'm the Republicans, I don't want him carrying my flag into battle. I mean, they need to, instead of just saying, well, we're just going to not do anything with this race, they have got to at least have a candidate that they can be proud of because of the drag on the entire ticket. And I'm not talking about straight ticket voting in this kind of malarkey. What I'm talking about is the fact that if you've got a U.S. Senate race and the best the party can do is someone who's known for racist statements, that is going to reflect on your entire party up and down the line. You need to find somebody who says, I believe in ideas. I understand it's an uphill battle, but if I'm going to go down, I'm going to devote six months of my life to campaigning on what I believe in. And even though I may not win the office, you just never know. But as a whole, we have to speak to what the party is about and what we stand for. And it's a conversation worth having, as opposed to every Republican up and down the ticket having to apologize for the chucklehead who doesn't have the sense he was born with.
And the thing is, it just they try to create a, okay, I'll give them a few weeks and things will calm down and then something else comes up. It's never ending. It's going to be interesting because this president, outside of like four races, is not going to have to go on the campaign trail because no one will want him out there come November.
Yeah, it's a real interesting situation when you see him in a rally with his supporters. I mean, people on both sides just have to acknowledge he has that group. You don't have to agree with the word he says. You don't even have to, you know, maybe the sight of him speaking turns your stomach. But the fact of the matter is you have to grudgingly concede he has figured out a way to reach a certain audience. Now, if you are an incumbent Republican who needs your base to get fired up, first of all, you're in serious trouble to begin with. But let's just go with that. You might use him because you've got to get your base fired up, but that's at the risk of alienating the independents that you really need in order to gain re-election.
It never gets old. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books. The Floppy Show is his latest book. You'll find that at Common Good Books and at totallyiowa.com. Jeff Stein, kind enough to join us on a Wednesday. Jeff, thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you. And of course, we are going to be back on your Thursday. Mike McEntee is up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.